I have always believed in miracles.
And that is why you will never hear me mention his name.
Deliver Brexit. Unite the country.
We will make America great again.
Views on News with Mark Latham.
Looks like I'm going to have to change that intro, Mark Latham.
Hi there, Brent. I can barely hear you. If someone can turn up the volume, it's next to zero.
It's next to... Can you hear... Is that better?
No, that's no better at all. You're very, very faint.
Hang on. Is that better?
Yeah, that's a bit better.
Okay, yep. All right. We'll see if we can... I'm doing my own technical stuff here in the studio, so... Is that better now?
Marginally, but still pretty faint, I'm sorry.
All right, well, I'll let you do all the talking.
Okay.
I was just saying, I think we're going to have to make a new intro because it looks like Donald Trump is not going to win. It's so close. Yesterday, I was listening to commentators and I think they were all saying that, look, it's a long way to go, but I'd rather be in Donald Trump's shoes. This morning, everyone seems to have changed and they're now saying, of the two, I'd rather be in Joe Biden's shoes.
Well, I think it's headed to their Supreme Court, which is like their Court of Disputed Returns to sort out elections, as we saw 20 years ago with George W. Bush and Al Gore, because the reality is their electoral system is very, very different to the Australian one. They don't have an independent electoral commission. They don't have a national body that runs a national election. In their constitution, there's many great things in their constitution, but one of the weakest things is that each state can run its own election system. So the rules are different in every state. And essentially what happened about 6 months ago was that the Democrat-run states, the one where Trump needs the support now, like Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania, they worked out that they needed to make mail-in ballot participation as easy as possible. And some of this stuff is just off the radar. In Pennsylvania, you can have a mail-in ballot just with an email address. You register as a voter with an email address and they send you a ballot paper with an email address. So there's no signatures here, no ID that's produced, and it's pretty clear in some of these states the Democrats have done everything they can to boost the polling numbers way beyond any normal standard. In Wisconsin, for instance, one of the key states that Trump won 4 years ago, the voter turnout is 90% for a voluntary poll. Now, I've never heard of that. Australia has compulsory voting, but all the systems overseas, if it's voluntary, particularly in Wisconsin in the middle of winter up in the north of the United States, to have 90% of people voting, only 10% didn't, is unheard of. Their average for many, many decades has been 70% voter turnout. So where did the extra 20% come from? These are extraordinary numbers, and their Supreme Court, in looking at Trump's protest about this problem, is going to have a lot of work to do to work out what the hell happened. Was it fair? Are these mail-in ballots that have swamped Trump in all these key contests credible? And if they're not, what do you do about it?
Washington was an example of that. I mean, Washington, it's, what is it, 92% of Washington have voted for Biden.
Well, that's Washington, D.C. Yeah, well, that's similar to what happened 4 years ago. Trump's got no friends in the place where he says drain the swamp. All those public servants and people who work in the bureaucracy are anti-Trump. But I think that also raises a question that, you know, all these officials who get on TV to say, oh, in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, we're counting the votes through to every last vote, they're Democrat Party elected people. They're not independent electoral office people. And the people counting the vote have been appointed by Democrats, most public servants, in the way of this intense hatred of Trump. You just wonder, was it ever possible to get a fair counting of the votes? He was doing well 24 hours ago, even 18 hours ago, but he's been swamped by an unprecedented voter turnout, and we've never seen numbers like this. What it means for the future of their democracy, they'd be well advised to use the Australian system, where you've got an independent system and people to run the elections rather than party political people, and you have a whole national system instead of every state having different rules. It's very hard to follow what's gone on, but we do know that the mail-in ballots, Trump was complaining about it, and I've got to say at the time, I thought, oh, well, he's complaining about a new thing now, but we've really got the full gravity of what it means, and it's very unlikely this was a fair election.
So I was about to say to you, well, Trump would have known this prior to for the fair counting of the votes, but you're saying, well, he did. He tried to tell people about it, but it's only now that we're realising that the points that he was making, he had valid points.
Yeah, that's right. And it was outside of his control because as president, he doesn't fund an Australian, like a United States Electoral Commission, like we have an Australian Electoral Commission. These are run state by state. And if it's a Democrat-controlled state with the governor and Secretary of State from the Democrat Party, it seems to be synonymous with extraordinary turnout numbers. Wisconsin and Minnesota look to be the worst, but you'll see very high numbers, unprecedented numbers elsewhere, particularly in the key states. So he was pointing to this problem. His reaction to it was to cut the funding for the post office so that it wouldn't be as feasible. That was the only lever he had to pull. That probably wasn't the right thing to do at that time, but there's also reports that in some places he hasn't been allowed to have his own scrutineers, that they're counting these votes without anyone watching them. You know, in our system in Australia, the ballot, the polling place closes, the party scrutineers authorised by the candidates go in to make sure it's all been done accurately and with integrity. And there's places there where they don't allow scrutineers. So, geez, they're a first world country that looks like they've got a third world voting system.
I think there was footage shown at some stage. I saw it on Brekkie TV this morning. I think it was Pennsylvania where there was someone trying to get in and the Democrats just wouldn't let him in. They wouldn't let him come into the building. Did you see that footage?
Well, yeah, it's extraordinary, isn't it, that you're not allowed to go in to scrutineer on behalf of your candidate. Trump would have some scrutineers, Biden would have some scrutineers, the Senate and House candidates would have scrutineers to watch that it's all been done properly, that nobody's cheating. So if this is a system run by Democrats with polling workers appointed by Democrats and there's no third-party verification of what's going on or even protest mechanism, then it's really just abysmal. It's hard to believe that we call it the world's greatest democracy. Seeing it over the last 24 hours gives a lie to that. The United States has got massive problems in running their democracy.
Are we going to see I know you mentioned it earlier. Are we going to see a complete rerun of what went on in 2000 with Gore and Trump?
Well, that was a different circumstance in one state, Florida, with regard to were these valid votes with voter intent, where they had the dimple and the hanging chad.
That's true.
Like you had to put an imprint.
That's right.
On a piece of cardboard, mm-hmm. And there was arguments about did the voter really mean to do that? Is the imprint significant enough to say, well, that's a vote recorded? They've got past that problem. This is more something unprecedented because of COVID. I think, in all fairness, without COVID, without the Wuhan flu, Trump would have won in a landslide. I mean, the fact that he's got so close is remarkable, given all the things against him and the media coverage against him. But they had the big push from the Democrats to have what we call postal votes. It's never been a big thing in the United States, but they made it a big thing to say we don't want people going to the polling place because of COVID. And the Democrats worked overtime to get these extraordinary voting numbers in by mail. And every state is different. There's a stack of anomalies. And now the Supreme Court, assuming they take on the matter, and Trump would have a big chronicle, you know, a long list of all these irregularities, the Supreme Court there takes on the matter. It's going to be a lot more complex and extensive than looking at some dimpled cardboard pieces from one part of Florida. This is in six or seven states that determine the election there, and what they do about it, who knows?
So I may as well not ask you the next question, because I was just going to say, as a afternoon announcer here, I was going to ask you, so what happens when it goes to the Supreme Court? I'm just a dumb afternoon announcer. What happens when it goes to the Supreme Court?
Well, we've never seen anything like it. They've never had a system with this degree of mail-in ballots, so many irregularities, and a presidential election so close. You know, you work on the assumption, oh, Trump didn't fund the post office. Yeah, they had mail-ins, but either Trump will win, you know, with a fair margin, or Biden would win rather than a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
So it's possible the Supreme Court will say, well, look, for better or worse, the states made these laws and ran their systems as per the Constitution, and there's not much we can do about it. Without sort of video evidence of vote rorting, what can the Supreme Court do about it? Now, it'll really depend on the strength of the Trump case. A, the Supreme Court's got to take on the case. They might just say it's not a matter for them.
Right.
That's unlikely, I think. But then it'll be incumbent upon the Trump legal team to say these are the irregularities which mean that the election or needs to be reversed or rerun. There'd be a range of options for the Supreme Court, but they might just say, well, look, everything happened according to the rules. The rules weren't great, but what can anyone do about it after the event?
Do
In
they...
that case, Biden, I think on the evidence, will become the president.
Do they have, and one would assume the Supreme Court would have to make these decisions by January 20?
Well, that's it, yeah. It's not like the Australian system where basically you've got a new premier or a new prime minister a couple of days after the election. They do have they have 2 months to sort this out, and they'd be sitting as a Supreme Court over Christmas and New Year as they did 20 years ago. So they've got 2 months to sort it out and even delay an inauguration. But they do need a peaceful transfer of power. I think that's important for the Americans. We don't want riots and bloodshed in their system. That would be a disaster. So eventually, if the Supreme Court takes on the matter in their system, it is supreme, and its judgment, everyone will have to live with it, and hopefully in a peaceful way, so there's an orderly transition of power if it does go to Biden.
Okay. We're talking to One Nation leader of New South Wales, Mark Latham. We'll take a break and come back and continue our conversation next.